Okay, Rabbi Say, let's begin the following story. Okay, my mother, Allah Hashalom, grew up in a little town in Massachusetts called Millis, Massachusetts. And she worked as a young girl, probably your age, for the Herman Shoe Company. You ever hear of it, the Herman Shoe Company? I didn't think you did. Okay, Herman Shoe Company. It probably doesn't exist anymore. And she left work on Friday, and she said goodbye to her boss. And on Monday, her boss came in with a terrible cold. And her boss was not from, Jewish, but not from. And my mother was from. Never went to Beis Yaakov or Hari Crown or Hillel Torah or anywhere, but she was from. So she says to the boss, what happened? So the boss says to her, I don't understand you. What do you mean, what happened? Why are you asking me what happened? You don't know why you got a cold? The boss is not from, says to my mother, yesterday was the first Sunday of Elul. So I went to the cemetery, and it was raining. And I had to go to all the others. And I got a cold. What do you think? What's the matter with you? He wasn't from. Hell. Then, you know the story probably, whatever the variations are, there are many variations. There were wagon drivers who were known for not being so scrupulous. And Yeshiva Bachar would take rides from them, and they were always warned, and the Yeshiva Bachar took a ride, and at the end of the ride, he says to the wagon driver, you know, they warned me that you're going to try to rip me off, and they didn't do anything to me. And the wagon driver said to the Bachar, El? One thing to be a Ganav all year long, El? Can't be a Ganav during El? And then several years ago in the shul, somebody asked me, maybe we should have somebody come in to give a shmooze and shul for El. And he told me, what's going to be with the, it's a person now, he's in his maybe 70. Grew up in Chicago, born in Chicago. Parents lived in Chicago, grandparents lived in Chicago. He said to me, he said, the fish and sitterin in the yam, you know what that means? The fish in the water are scared during Elul. I had never heard that before. I said, okay, if you're talking about the fish being scared, we'll get somebody. And Rabbi Keller came, I told him I wanted to speak about the fish sittering in the yam, and he spoke about the fish sittering in the yam. It was a concept by Jews. Well, Elul. It's very hard for us this year, especially, what kind of Elul, to the middle of August. So I still got 2 weeks vacation going. People going on vacation tomorrow in Shul. Right, it's a little. Somebody told me that Elul starts Labor Day. I told him, sorry, buddy. Elul started. It may not work out in the calendar for you this year, but Elul started. Okay, Elul. There's something called Elul. So what is this? What is this Elul? And Bechlau, what are we in connection to Elul? What are we in connection, I would say, to the fundamentals of Judaism in general? What are we? So, I'd like to learn. Some of you come to the Sunday morning shir, and some of you are here Shabbos morning. Most people know I like Rashi very much. I'm not a complicated person. You know, some people are very complicated. I like learning Chumash and Rashi. I love Rashi. So I'd like to learn a few psukim with some Rashis. Okay, in the Shabbos parsha that always comes out before Elul, which is the parsha of Re'eh. Okay, Ray. This year, I noticed three psukim, and it just struck me. Here's the first pasuk. Torah talks in Re'eh about, you're going to get involved with Ki Yachris Hashem Lekechas Agoy B'Shatav Hashem L'Reshah L'Somi Penechav Yerashah L'Somi Yeshavtav Aratzim. You're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now, what happens when you conquer a people? What happens? Make a joke for a moment, okay? You know what happens when you conquer a people either with hate or with love? let's say with friendship, okay? You conquer people with friendship. You know what happens? We start eating sushi. Why are we eating sushi? Because everybody gets along with each other. So we found out, you eat sushi, we'll eat sushi. I'm not knocking sushi, I like sushi, right? Sushi is a Jewish food. Sushi's become a Jewish food. Pizza, kids think that pizza was made in Eretz Yisrael. Pizza was created by Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Screaming in Ivrit, right? The falafel is definitely made by Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Like borscht was made by Jews in Russia, right? So now, what happens? Maybe you're going to follow the goyim. You're going to capture them. You're going to follow them. Look at the way the goyim worship. Look what the goyim do. We're going to follow the goyim. Don't do this, Hashem Elokecha. Don't do this. God, He called Tovas Hashem Ashesone. Asule Lohem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates what they do to their idols. Kigam Esbeneim. Unbelievable. Gam Esbeneim, Esbenoseim, Yisrafu Be'esh Lohem. They burn their sons and daughters for their gods. It's a pasuk. I have a question. My mother, I just mentioned, grew up in this small town called Millis. I spent the first 11 summers of my life, maybe my first 13 summers of my life, on my grandfather's farm. I've mentioned this many times. I just reminded myself, and I told this to my grandchildren over vacation. I remember one time eating breakfast on my grandparents' farm in the house, and the kitchen, we had this big kitchen, the windows looked out to the field, and there was a cow giving birth. Pass the toast, and there's a cow giving birth right outside the window. Gewaldig. Unbelievable. After a cow gives birth, it licks its calf clean. But within a day or two or three, there's no shaykhs. Okay, that's cows. What about people? People have a shaykhus. What does it mean? You burn your sons and daughters. And we're scared that you are going to take on this midah of putting your kids in a fire. What does it mean? Put your kids in a fire. That is a pasuk. Says, forget about conquering. What happens if somebody goes over to somebody else and says, you know, I got a great idea tonight. Let's go out and have a good time. Where do you want to go? I want to go to the church. I'm really interested in seeing what they do with their opera. What does the galach really do? What's with those crackers? Come on, let's go. What is that person? He's a Mesis Amidiach. He's a Mesis Amidiach. Mesis Amidiach means someone who convinces somebody to go do whatever. Zok the Pasuk. Unbelievable Pasuk. He assists Chachicha. If your brother, or Yvincha, your son, or your daughter, or Eshes Chaykecha, or Reacha, Asher Kinafshecha. Reacha, Asher Kinafshecha. What does Reacha, Asher Kinafshecha mean? Your friend like your soul. Who is that referring to? Says Rashi Zelvicha, your father. Your father convinces you to go do Avodah Zarah. What is this? Will someone please explain to me what this is? Your father? What does it mean? So I know a very, very chashuv, prominent Rav. Very chashuv Rav. He once said the following. I was in the shul once. He said over the following. He said a younger Rav called him up. This is a Rav's Rav, a very chashuv, from the most chashuv Rabbonim in America. A Rav once called him up and said to him, I have a shot. I want to tell you my son. One of my balabatim said he's moving to the suburbs. Leaving the shul and moving to the suburbs. And I asked him why. He told me, Rabbi, I really like you. And I like the shul. But I have to move to the suburbs. He says, tell me why. He says, closet space. Here in the city, I can't get a house with big closets. I can't get a house with big closets. I need closet space. Now, closet space is important. I like big closets. I don't have big closets. I like big closets. I like storage. I don't have storage. I'd like to have a place for everything. I don't have a place for everything. So I'm moving to the suburbs. I mean, I'm not. But this person, he moved to the suburbs. He moved to the suburbs. You move out of the hood. Instead of your kids having 20 people to go to on Shabbos, now they have one. And that person is not so ay-ay-ay with their Shabbos. What'd you do to your kids? You gave them closet space. Big Mila. They have space now for their ice skates and their roller skates, and their sons have space for their hockey sticks and their footballs and their uniforms and their helmets and their basketballs. Shabbos is pretty sad. Their friends are pretty sad. I wonder, you think the Torah also meant that? Don't take your kids and throw them into a physical fire. What about if you put them into a spiritual fire? Could anybody think of burning their kids? Yeah. People's priorities are all mixed up. They got the closet space mixed up with their kids' space. You have things mixed up. How about a kid who comes home from seminary? No. Don't take the words out of context that I'm about to say. Somebody comes home from seminary flying. Flying. I mean, they're flying so high they don't know where they are. So sometimes parents have to kind of calm them down because they're going to go right to the roof. But sometimes they come home and they're a little disturbing. They like to keep a little bit of halacha that they weren't told about. I'm not talking about any fighting here. I'm talking about finding out something that maybe parents didn't know about, or maybe they did know about, they decided not to keep, and they come home and they get a little bit cold water splashed on their face. You think that's included in what the Torah says about telling our children something, which is not telling them to go to church? But I am telling them to chill out. Calm down. Cool off. Take it easy. It's not the way you really heard it. It's not the way we do it. A little scary. A little scary. Then, there's a third pasuk. Listen to the third pasuk. Rak chazak levilti achol hadam. Don't eat blood. I'm not going to pick on anyone personally, but I'm assuming there are some people here who like to eat. And if there aren't any, I like to eat. But in my lifetime, I've never, ever had a desire to eat blood. I'm not interested in blood. I don't want to eat blood. I don't like blood. I don't faint when I see blood. You know, I don't mind watching Mila. I don't mind watching Shkita. I wouldn't mind watching surgery if they would allow me into the surgical ward. I don't mind seeing blood. I'm not interested in eating blood. Zok the Torah, Rak Kazak, Vabulti Achol Adam, don't eat blood. The Torah says this many times, stay away from blood. And then the pasuk continues, Loitech Lanu, don't eat it, spill it on the ground. Loitech Lanu, another time, don't eat it. Laman Yitav Lecho Ulevanecha Acharecho, that will be good for your children. You don't need blood, it will be good for your children. Kisasa Hayosha Beinei Hashem, because you do what's right in the eyes of Hashem. Anybody want to tell me what the pasuk means? What's going on here? Anybody tell me what's going on? What does this mean? Don't eat blood, and if you don't eat blood, that will be good for your children. Putting them in a fire, that's not so good. Convincing them to do a zara, that's not so good. But not eating blood, now that's good. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. You're looking at me like I'm strange. You're looking at me like I'm strange. What's the pasuk in the Chumash? It says, Laman Yitav Lech, Levanecha Acharecha. It says, it's going to be good. What does it mean? So Rashi explains. Rashi quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Makis. It says like this. Unbelievable. Tzeu Lamad, Matan Schorin Shel Mitzvahs. Im Adam Shenafsho Shel Odom Kotze Mimenu, with blood which a person finds disgusting. If a person separates from blood and doesn't eat blood, he and his children, he will be zeicha, then his children will follow in his pathway. He'll have gewaldige children. What about gezel and arayis? What's the limud when you tell your child that the amusement park under 6 is free, and your kid's 6 and a half, and you tell your kid, shh, I'm going to tell them you're not 6 yet? What's the limud when your kid turns 6 today, and you go to the amusement park, and you tell the person behind the counter, my kid turned 6 today, what's the rule? What's the difference between those two kids? Everybody likes to save themselves money. Save $12, maybe save $20, I don't know how much, depends where you go. Kid says, wow, look what my mother did. Gezel. Nafsho Shaladam, Misavavah. You control yourself. That's the manyit tavloch ulubanecha acharecha. You may burn your kids, Rachmanot, onto closet space. You may turn your kids off because you don't want them to become, quote unquote, frumed out. And you can create your kids by showing them how much self-control you have and how much honesty you have. What a nafkamina. What a difference. What a difference. 3 psukim, same parsha. Parshas Rei always comes out before Elul. What a difference. What a difference. My oldest son was born. Went to the hospital. My wife, he was born. Drove back to Lakewood. See my Rebbe. Belia Goldschmidt Tzatzal. Tzaddik. My Tzaddik. Man was a Tzaddik. He was in the middle of medical school in Argentina. Baron Kotler came to Argentina. He said a shmooze. He got so enamored by the shmooze, he gave up his medical school, middle of medical school. He left medical school and moved to Lakewood. Started learning and Musa. By the time I got to Lakewood, he was giving Musa Vad, and we went to his house every Friday night. That was unbelievable. A bunch of American kids. We were in his house. His house was on top of the mikveh. It was unbelievable. I can tell you stories about Rabbi Goldschmidt all night. I get out of the car, jump out of the car. I said, Rebbe, became a father. My wife just had a boy. So I'm expecting a mazel tov, right? That's fairly normal, right? So he looks at me and he says, he didn't even say mazel tov to me. He says, now it all begins. Tell me, you can fake out system, you can fake out your friends, you can fake out your rebbeim, you can even fake out your spouse, but not too much. But your kids, you can never fake out. They smell right away. They can't enunciate it. They can't pronunciate it. They can't explain it. But they know right away. Then he wished me mazel tov. The man yitavloch. You tell your kid, shh, you're 5 years old. Tati, daddy, mommy, ima, I'm not. Shh. Tell your kid you're 6 years old. The man yitavloch. Whoa. The man yitavloch. Woman stopped by a cop in Lakewood. The cop is supposed to go to a meeting. Lady went through a stop sign. You know the story. She calls the people, say, I'm going to be late to the meeting. I got a ticket. I got to write the ticket. She goes, lady rolls down the window, says, and the cop tried to get to the meeting. Yeah. So he says to the lady, what were you doing? She says, officer, my fault. He looks in the car, he sees kids strapped in car seats. He says, you look, you have a lot of children, maybe they distracted you. Officer, it's my fault. He says, maybe one of your kids was screaming. Like he wants to get... Officer, my fault. The officer chaps. And he says, lady, what's going on? He says, officer, it's my fault. My son is listening to every word I say. I went through the stop sign. It's my fault. So he didn't give her a ticket. Came into the meeting. Now in Lakewood, the mayor of Lakewood and the council people of Lakewood, most of them were all, from people in Lakewood. So, he set off his story. He said, you guys got to hear this story. I want to give this woman every excuse to get out of a ticket. She won't say it because she doesn't want her children to pick up on a phony excuse. There's a Jew who, I don't know if you heard of him or not, his name is Reb David Morgenstern. You ever hear of him? Reb David Morgenstern? Reb David Morgenstern was the second Gabbai to Reb Yashin. Efrati was the first, and Morgenstern was the second. And Morgenstern is now the Rav of Ramat Shlomo. Pretty chashav shtalo. Tall man, big bushy peyaz, beard, big talmid chacham, very close to Reb Yashin. What did he learn in high school? Where? I had a crown? Nope. He went to public school for high school. You're thinking about Rav Dustin Tzvi. He went to Ida Crown. Rav Dustin Morgenstern went to MIT. He went to MIT. He lived in Brookline, Massachusetts. Brighton. Cambridge. And he went to a shul. An old European rub was in the shul. I know him very well. Rabbi Henoch Plotnik's uncle, his name was Rabbi Shlomo Margolis, that's all. He started earning aleph-bays with him. Aleph-bays, he graduated to Chumash. I mean, he was a fairly smart person at MIT, not bad, right, MIT. Machlokes, MIT, Harvard, okay, but that was the old Bostonian Machlokes. But he was in MIT. And from there he learned Gemara. Next thing you knew, he was off to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Plotnik has an older brother. And this older brother has a son-in-law who's a Rav. And this Rav had gotta called me up. And I told him, I gotta tell you that your Shver, when I was a bocher, a young boy in Brookline, living there in Brookline, your Shver was the yeshiva bocher. Several years older than me. He was already in Beis Medrash. And I used to watch him daven Shemoneh Esrei, and I said, whoa, that's the real McCoy. So this Rav told me that he went through Rav David Morgenstern's house. And he wasn't home. But so his wife was home. He said, I'm Rabbi Shia Plotnik, a Rav from Toronto. I'm his son-in-law. She said, I want to tell you a story. My husband said that the reason he came to Eretz Yisrael and decided to learn Torah is because your father used to learn Torah in the shul in Boston. And he learned with such a geschmack and so much enjoyment. I knew there must be something special about this, and if I was willing to give him my career to find out what made this person so happy. L'man yitavloch. Does anybody know what he is or she is doing that has an effect on somebody else? There's a Jew. You know this Jew? Reb Noah Wolf. He's a moyel in the city, a retired moyel. He did 5-digit milas, more than 10,000 milas. Wonderful person. He lives in Gary, Indiana. Somebody once wrote him a letter and told him, the reason I'm religious is because I once saw you davening mincha. And I asked the teacher, what are you doing? And the teacher told me, he's praying to God. I said, what is that? And that led me on my course of life. And because of that one mincha, I became religious. L'man yitavloch. You read this book that came out, Shlomi? Not Reb Shlomi. Shlomi. It's a book about a balabus. First book about a balabus. An American-born balabus. Rachman al-Sani, he died suddenly of a heart attack at the age of 52. Unbelievable. One of these guys, jolly guy, didn't make it to any high school, kicked out of every single high school he went to, and he turned around and became a big gevir and helped people. I think it's a great book. It's a great book. Sometimes parents strike from children. They had a minig. And his daughter, children, put out the chametz. 10 pieces. One piece in every room. He checks the room. Now, I'm saying this story with sensitivity. Okay, great sensitivity. I don't mean anybody in here, and I don't mean anything by it, but the story is gavalv. He checks the room, he comes out, no chametz, tells his daughter, there was no chametz in this room. So his daughter said, Tati, Daddy, Abba, what I think she called him Daddy. My teacher told me that a television is chametz. So therefore there already was chametz in that room, so I didn't put any chametz in the room, because that was the room that had the TV. Okay, so you laughed it off. Eventually you got rid of the TV. But you know why that happened? Because she knew that he was a man who was interested in shtaying. L'manitavlo. And she knew that because she saw him shtay. So this same Shlomi is coming home from his skiing trip with his kids. And he's in the car and he says, come on, it was so geschmack today, right? We had a great time, right? And they said, yeah, we had a great time. I had a great time. You had a great time. It was great going skiing together. And they passed the Meir Yeshiva. Those people who know what Brooklyn is, they on Ocean Park, they passed the Meir Yeshiva. So the Shlomi, who had, by that time had developed a relationship with Rishmul Birnbaum Zatzal, the Yeshiva of the Meir, says to his kids in the car, who do you think had a geschmack time? More geschmack time. Us or Rishmul Birnbaum? He sat in that building all day and learned Gemara, and we were on the hills skiing. Who had a more geschmack time? He said, Rishmul Birnbaum. Give all the good lesson. We had a geschmack of time. He didn't say we didn't have a geschmack of time. We had a geschmack of time skiing. It was a geschmack. L'man yitavlach. L'man yitavlach. Okay, so Rabbi Yisrael, let's go a step further. Let's go a step further. L'man yitavlach. Who are we really? We went on vacation, as we always do. Some of you know, because you hear Shabbos morning, that, come back from vacation. The first Shabbos, I always have some stories to tell about vacation. And this vacation, we went to Middlesburg, Ohio. As I mentioned on Shabbos, I daven every morning, and we go on vacation, I daven every morning, Vosikin. Vosikin. Vosikin means with sunrise. But with sunrise means with the sun. We go outside, I scream my head off. Nobody's near enough to hear me. I can daven as loud as I want. Scream and yell. I sing in the whole Psukkah de Zimra. Watch the sun come up. And I had a cat join me every morning. 6 horses. I was unbelievable. I was mamish, flying high. I was gewaldig. Nobody's watching me. I can do whatever I want. Screaming, yelling, dancing, jumping. What's my daven to Hashem. Then we go to the Amish. I mentioned Shul Shabbos morning. I'm not saying this is I'm just telling you a fact. There's a Milo going on vacation where Amish live. You know why? Because everybody's dressed. That's what I said Shabbos morning. Everybody's dressed. It's a Machiah. Going to the street, everybody's dressed. I'm talking about the men and the women. Everybody's dressed. People think Tznius only applies to women. It's a mistake. Tznius applies to men and women. Okay, that's a shmooze unto itself. I don't know if I'm the right person to give it, but tznius is an important concept for men. You can walk in the streets, you can walk in the stores. Okay, so you come up to Walmart, they have a sign, to the left cars, to the right buggies, because the Amish don't use cars. Okay, fine, so I can tolerate that. I don't care, I don't mind, I like horses. Fine. So we went to see an Amish house. Amish house, mentioned this on Shabbos morning, that they have a doll, and the doll doesn't have ears and eyes and a nose. It's just a round face with no features on the face, and they have a tzetel with a guide explaining it's because the Old Testament says that in the Ten Commandments it says you should not make a temuna, you should not make an image. Everyone goes, ooh, wow, where the Bible, I'm saying to myself, hack a cup, what are you hacking a cup about? You don't have a nose on a doll because it says you shouldn't make a temuna. What do you got Yashka for? Keep a nose on the doll and get rid of Yashka. What are you hacking me a cup about the doll with the nose? Leave out the doll and get rid of Yashka. Okay, fine. That's not a tiny bit. Rabbi said, listen, you all know the famous story of Rabbi Twersky? You know the famous story in the book, which I think is the first book that he wrote, Generation to Generation. You know, it's a very, very famous story. He's not a bus. Rabbi, Dr. Abraham Twersky. You know the story? Come on. Right, he's on a bus and a lady comes over to him and says to him, you should be ashamed of yourself dressing like you dressed in Poland. What's the matter with you? Stop it with the black hat and the black this and the black that and the beard. What's the matter with you? She says to the lady, as only Rabbi Twersky can do, only a Twersky can come up with such a line. She says to the lady, pardon me, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm Amish. Oh, it's so nice. You keep your traditions, and you wear a beard, and your people are so honest, and blah, 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 blah. And then he turns around and he says to her in Yiddish, Paskunyak. You know what that means? I have no idea what it means, but it means something bad. What are you machutzif? Amish is okay and Jewish is not. What are you hacking a cup? Amish is okay. But to dress like my Zayd is dressed in Poland, that's not okay. They do electricity. Don't have electricity. The Bishop Paskin, you're allowed to have a gas refrigerator, no, as long as it's not electric. I felt like I was in Ushuaia with the Briskins, and we use batteries, you know what I mean? To tell me all of them, stop it! Okay, listen. Everybody in this room's great-grandmother or great-great-grandmother knew that the fish were nervous during Elul. And the person who wasn't frum knew that you got a kivrei avos on the first Sunday of Elul. He knew that. There was something called Elul in Chag Yisrael. What an unbelievable phenomenon. What does it mean? Now let's talk. What does it mean? This is what Elul means. Elul means, this is a very hard thing to do. I can't really do it so well. It means to stand in front of a mirror and look at the image and say, how you doing? How you doing? You know what that means? That means forget blaming my parents, forget blaming my friends, forget blaming my teachers, forget blaming this, forget that. How am I doing? God created me. How am I doing? How am I doing? 3 weeks from last night, we're going to be saying Slichus. 4 weeks from last night, Rosh Hashanah is going to be over. 5 weeks from last night, Yom Kippur is going to be over. 6 weeks from last night, it's going to be the middle of Sukkos. And 7 weeks from last night, it's going to be Matzoi, Parshas, Bereishis, all the Avodas finished. Now the question is, now, how am I doing? How am I doing? What an unbelievable question. Okay, now I want to add, in the Siddur, in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Dalet, in Mishnah Tes Zayin, it says the following. It says that when it comes to Torah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, the man who witnessed the Churban of the second base of Mikdash, who brought up 24,000 Talmidim, saw them all die, then established 5 or 6 new Talmidim. One of them was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda makes a statement in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes Zayin, depending upon which Siddur, which Mishnayas you use, that a person should be very careful about Talmud. Some agree is Talmid. And that's because if one is a shogeg, when it comes to Torah, one is responsible. Even if they teach something incorrectly. I spoke about this yesterday at Pirkei Avos, I spoke about this morning at the weekly shiur, which anybody would like to come to, they're invited to come to at 9:30 in the morning. I won't tell you about the shiur, it's a 7:45 on Tuesday night, because I don't want to interfere with yoga. But after yoga is over, we'll talk about it. Okay, now, it says, Shigigas Torah Ola Zodon. That if a person makes a mistake, when they are talking and teaching Torah, it's considered, even though it's a mistake, they didn't mean it, it's considered amazing. In no other area of Allah is this true. We spoke about this morning in detail, but just give you a quick rundown. If somebody walks into a room on Shabbos and Rachman Hashem forgets and turns on the light, he brings a korban, or she brings a korban, chattas. Costs a lot of money to bring a korban, but they're not killed. If they're warned with 2 edim and they're told, don't do it, you do it anyways, then they get stoned, Rachman Hashem. But if that's not the case, they forget on Shabbos, it's a shaking, you bring a korban. When it comes to Torah, a person makes a mistake, it's considered amazing. I'm wondering, What does that mean? That means if a Rebbe teaches Torah and he makes a mistake or she makes a mistake, they got to come back and apologize. They got to come back and say, I made a mistake. They got to do it quickly. But if they don't do it quickly, it's very possible, the Mishnah says, that a shogeg is considered amazing. Because when it comes to Torah, we brook no excuses. Very serious Torah. Teaching Torah is a very serious endeavor. I'm wondering. I'm thinking about this class. I'm wondering. You look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You say, how you doing? How you doing? Well, you know why I'm not doing so well, God? Because my mother was a lousy mother. God, you know why I'm not doing so well? Because my father was a lousy father, my brother was a lousy brother, my rope was a lousy rope, my teacher was a lousy teacher, my principal was a lousy principal, I was born on a Tuesday, and it was close to Friday the 13th, and nothing is my fault. Now, I don't mean what I just said flippantly. I understand everything I just said, and I said every mushel because I meant it. Life is full of challenges. Don't paskin for yourself on a shogeg. Because when it comes to Torah, it's very scary. That's what Elul is about. Elul is the following. God says, you know what? I love you. And I do. And no one loves you, ever. No one ever will, no one ever has, will love you more than I love you. And Elul means, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. Elul means, Avinu Malkeinu. Hashem's our father, and he's a father who's never going to lead us down the wrong track. He's never going to burn us. He's never going to say, I need more closet space. That's never going to happen. He's the best father there ever was, the best mother there ever was, and the best friend there ever was, and the best beloved that there ever was. No one loves us more than Hashem. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. It's not a poem. It's a nice thing. I saw somebody once have a ring. I asked him what this ring is. A man was wearing a ring. The ring said, I need the doggy for doggy lee. His wife gave him the ring. Okay, very nice. Very nice. I need the doggy for doggy lee. What's really nice is, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's nice. I'm saying what's really nice is to be able to say it to Hashem. I need the doggy for doggy lee. Forget the punishment part. Talk about Laman Yitavloch. Laman Yitavloch. Laman Yitavloch. It's hard. What I'm about to say right now is very hard because I never had anybody who really taught this to me, and I'm not really teaching it to you right now. I'm just telling it to you. You know what the most enjoyable thing in life could be? One of the most enjoyable things in life could be? I don't know if you ever heard a sentence said like this. I don't know if I've ever really said it to a group of young women like this. Davening. Davening very often. Davening? What's he talking about? Davening is boring. Davening is a pain. I have to go to work. I have to go to school. I got to take care of my kids. I got to do carpool. Davening's a pain. I'll do it because I have to do it. Because my teachers told me I got to do it. My mother told me I got to do it. My father told me I got to do it. My rabbi told me I got to do it. Davening can be enjoyable. Can I say something else? Which somebody may listen to this tape and think that you know, I don't know what they'll think. It can be very enjoyable to eat a meal in a sukkah, surrounded by schach. A sukkah. It could be very enjoyable to daven in a shul with a group of Jews. It could be very enjoyable to be at the kliyos. I'm not talking about fearful and awesome. I'm talking about enjoyable. 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 I don't know how many of you are zoicha to be able to do it. Maybe at this age you're still zoicha to be able to do it. One of my most enjoyable moments of the whole year. Not because it's over and I made it. Because it's over and we did it. It's Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, Hashem Hu Elokim, close the Aron, blow the shofar. Hashem cleansed us, He bathed us, He hugged us, He kissed us, He forgave us. You can't get there if you don't prepare a little during it. And I want to tell you, from where I stand, it's harder for women. That's my take. Now you could all be saying that I'm wrong. Maybe it's easier for women. I don't know. But I want to tell you the truth. It's hard for everybody. In Kippur, I just read Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg, the man was close to 80 years old. He got up, walked down 5 flights of stairs in Matzah, walked to the Kaisel for Matzah, Davin Shachris Kivosikin, left after Shachris, before Chazor Sashatz, walked back to the yeshiva, Davin for the Omid, stood for 3 hours, then stood for 3 hours for Musaf, came home with Yom Kippur to his wife, who was bedridden by the end of his life, told her he brought her a piece of cake. The Simcha finishing in Kippur, the Chassam Sofer couldn't learn, the Chassam Sofer, the great Chassam Sofer, 1839, the Gadol HaDor, couldn't learn Motzei Yom Kippur. He wrote poetry, and he wrote music. He wrote songs, praising Hashem. But it doesn't happen if we fall into Yom Kippur. Like Shabbos doesn't really happen when we fall into Shabbos. I'm trying to be Mechazik myself, because I also fall into Shabbos. I still picture my great-grandfather. My grandfather never went to yeshiva a day in their lives, who lived in the small town, Millis, Massachusetts, with the cows in the background and all the other things. And they were sitting at the table doing Shnayim Mikra, and I was going out to play basketball in my shorts. And my elder Zayde would always say to me, "Das heißt the yeshiva bacha. This is a personal, I learned yeshiva. I'm going out to play basketball 1 o'clock Friday afternoon." And he already took his bath and was sitting at the table dressed for Shabbos doing Shnayim Mikra. I said, "Zayde, there's plenty of time left for Shabbos. Come on, I got to play basketball. That's what we do in yeshiva Friday afternoon." He didn't understand what I was talking about. He thought I came for the moon. Rav Chatzkel Levinstein. You ever heard of him? Rav Chatzkel Levinstein. Grandfather of Rebbetzin Levin. Chatzkel Levinstein. Got married. Married. What do we get married? What do you want? The gown. The suit for the chosen, the hat, gotta be right, you know, everything, you know, the caterer, the photographer, the band, how are we gonna dance, over this and that, the guns are like. He tells his wife to follow. We're gonna get married. Here's one condition for marriage. You know what the condition is? In the Tanoim, writes a condition. The condition is, I am not going to talk from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Matzah Yom Kippur. You in? Are you in? Elul, Rabbi Say. They came to pick up Rav Chatzkel 50 years later. He was the Mashkiach in Ponovitch Yeshiva. He was Mashkiach in the Mir Yeshiva before that. Rav Lazer Yudel Finkel's son is getting married. And they come to pick him up. Now, when I first got to Lakewood, they come to pick up Rav Chatzkel to bring him to the Chassid. He says, "A Chassana? Elul?" When I first got to Lakewood, getting married during Elul was no such thing. He didn't make a Chassana during Elul. Now with picnics and barbecues and ball games and buses. And what does it sing? I'm not such an old man. I know I may look it. I'm not such an old man. So the kid brings up Rav Chatzkel. Rav Lazer Yudel's bringing a Chassid. He says, "Elul." So the chosin goes in, he says, "We have a car outside, my father, the reshiva's outside, the blazer, you don't want to take it to my chuppah." He says, "It's Elul." But he said, "It's not Elul, it's the first day of Rosh Chodesh, which means it's the last day of Av. So it's not even Elul yet." Chaskel said, "It's called Rosh Chodesh Elul. Can't go to Chas." Okay, so Chassidim holds like, "Hey, you shouldn't get married during Elul. Neither do you, neither do you. It's a time to get married. Okay, so welcome to Judaism. Fine, that's good. It's all good. It's all good. As long as we know it's Elul. It's not August. It is August. But it's not August. It's Elul. That's the Shiloh. Where are we? Who are we? What are we? What are we doing? It's an Avodah. It's not an Avodah of sadness. It's not an avoid of depression. It's an avoid of awe that ends in love. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. That's what we're doing during Elul. Sadness has nothing to do with Elul. Depression has nothing to do with Elul. Work is Elul. Work is Elul. The work is, God, I'm going to try to be better. Forget about what I did. It's in the past. It's avar. Forget about it. Rabbeinu Yonah, Zigeres HaTshuva, forget about it. What's with the future? If I may be so bold to use the following analogy. The first date wasn't so good. Let's try again now, just a second. That's Elul. I need the doidi v'doidili. You have an achrayas, we have an achrayas, we all have an achrayas. Elul. Okay, now, I'd like to conclude. It's not easy to do this. You're not in seminary. It's not easy to do it. Not in the dormitory tomorrow morning, going to go up and have four classes in seminary and walk the hills of Yerushalayim and whatever else is going to go on. And I don't mean to make anybody sad now, longing for seminary. This is where we are. We're in Chicago. That's it. Finished. That's where God put us. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make it in Chicago. Yeah, we're going to make it in Chicago. We're going to make it in Chicago. If I may, again, be so bold. Benos Tzion is about helping you make it in Chicago. I'm being serious. That's what it's about. Find ways to get chizuk. Nobody remains in seminary all their life, except for the person who owns the seminary. That's it. Finished. Most people don't remain in kollel all their life, except for the person who runs the kollel. Right? That basically doesn't happen. Chizuk. We all remain Jewish all our lives. And here's the trick, Rabbi Say. I've said this many times. I don't know if I ever said it to you. I'm going to say it to you anyways. That nowhere in Shulchan Aruch, nowhere in Shulchan Aruch does it say that when you graduate yeshiva, I said this to you once, when you graduate yeshiva, when you graduate seminary, nowhere, I haven't finished all Shulchan Aruch. I'm working on it. Give me a bracha. I should finish all Shulchan Aruch. I'm working on it very hard. But I can tell you for sure it does not say this in Shulchan Aruch. When a person graduates yeshiva or seminary, they don't have to shteig anymore. There's no such sif in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say that. So it must mean that when you graduate seminary, you graduate yeshiva, or you graduate kollel, you can keep studying. That's why we're here. L'man yitavlach. I would dare say, in a very serious way, that's what Benos Tzion's about. And I'll tell you a secret, Rabbi Say. That's what life's about. You think Hashem said, okay, mothers, you'll have children, and because you have children, therefore you're not going to steig anymore. It's not true. Fathers, you'll have jobs, and since you'll have jobs, you're not going to yeshiva, you're not going to steig anymore. It's not true. It's not true. Everybody can keep steiging. Everybody. So, Parshas Re'eh tells us, L'man yitavlach. Be an Erlich HaYid. Be an Erlich HaYid. Connect to El. Positively, enthusiastically. And be zeicha, to feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch. That's the way we really steig. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. It sounds esoteric. And to me it always sounded very fuzzy. It's not. It's real. Talk to Hashem in your car. Nowadays it's easy. Nowadays people think you're crazy. Now you're talking on your Bluetooth, you're talking on your speaker, whatever. Talk in the car, talk in the bus, talk anywhere you want, talk in the train. Talk to God. You didn't have to go, remember? You don't remember, of course you don't remember. You used to have to go to a phone booth to do that. You don't have to do it anymore. Just talk. Talk. Put something in your ear and just talk away. What an unbelievable thing. Tzachar Rabba to all of us, Rabbi Say, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. We should all be zeicha to Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li. We should all be zeicha to Shtaig, to Avinu Malkeinu. We should be zeicha to Aksiva Simateva Good Kaventura. Tzachar Rabba. Anybody has any questions, I'll take them private or any other way.